The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Bacon and Eggs Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tyler Carlin.
And I'm the other host, Ethan Edgehill. Welcome to our last episode of the old year.
Of the old year, the old 2017.
The year we started this business in.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to say good riddance. I say, I'll miss
2017 was a great year for me.
Yeah, good for me, bad for a lot of people.
Yep.
To those people, I am sympathetic, but to me, I am not sympathetic. I am... maybe? I don't know how sympathy works.
Yeah, whatever. 2018 is going to be the year, though. Let's be real here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2018. Here we go.
Speaking of the past, we got a real zinger for you this week.
Yeah, we're doing ye olde Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Hacked to the past.
What?
I don't know.
Okay, Back to the Future. It was in 1985. Yeah, 1985 classic.
So fun fact, ladies and gentlemen, Ethan and I are both sick, so our voices are going to sound. This is what it would sound like if I wasn't putting any effort into it. But they're going to sound a little bit sick.
Yep.
Sorry.
We'll make it work, though.
Yeah.
This is the oldest movie we've reviewed so far.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just telling everybody else.
This came out before Iron Man?
Yeah, it came out before Elf, too. Woo! You want a number?
I do want a
number. Okay, Back to the Future was released July 3rd, 1985, which was 11,864 days ago.
That's a long time.
Yeah, 11,000 days.
That is considerably more. That's actually a little less than I was thinking.
Yeah, it's a lot of days, though.
Yeah, I was thinking like closer to the 20,000 range.
32 years, 5 months, and 23 days ago, as of December 26, 2017. Which is Boxing Day, which is the day we're recording this. Happy Boxing Day, everybody. Except it's...
happy...
it's past by the time you get here, so... this movie, coincidentally, was released, like, 6 months earlier than it takes place.
Correct.
So, like, the starting date or whatever was, like, October 26th or whatever. So, 3 months, I guess. 4 months.
I don't know. Months
but
are very
put
confusing.
It out in July.
Months like September sound like they're much earlier in the year than right before October.
Yeah, well, that's how quarters work.
Yeah, I know. Very confusing.
September still feels like summer. October very much feels like January.
Right?
Yeah.
And January feels like cold.
Cold. Cold. Anyway, so this movie was made on a budget of $19 million, which I think is our smallest budget to date, if I'm not mistaken.
Elf might have been less.
No, Elf was like 33.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely our smallest budget to date.
Yeah.
Since Elf was like 100 less than Rotter than Iron Man.
Well, okay, but that's in 1985 dollars. And in 1985, a DeLorean would have cost you $57,000, which in today's money would have been like...
a lot.
Like 150 grand. Not even that. But like 120
grand. Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, really?
Okay, so then to give you that factor, in 1985 dollars, it made $381.1 million.
Well, since then. I bought it recently.
No, I mean, that was the box office run.
Oh, no way.
That's how we determine these, is the box office run.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It was the highest grossing film of 1985.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, I'll bet Star Wars beat you in a weekend, bro.
Yeah, well, I think Star Wars also probably beat it in the very next year, I believe.
Well, Star Wars...
no.
The New
earlier.
Hope came out
way
in 1977.
Earlier. Never mind. I was thinking it was 87 for a second. Confused.
Yeah.
Confused. Nah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Anyway, back on brand for a second. This is... the best rated movie we've ever reviewed so far.
Is it really?
Yeah. It got a 96% critic on Rotten Tomatoes and a 94% audience.
Does that edge out Iron Man?
That edges out Iron Man by 2 percentage points.
Whoa!
Yep.
Well
I believe
done,
Iron
Zemeckis.
Man was, I'm pretty sure Iron Man was 94. Because Star Wars was 93. Yeah. Okay. So 94. So this is 96 and it got an 86 on Metacritic.
Is it, Ethan, the best movie we have watched?
I think a lot of people apparently would say so.
Yeah, I bet they would. They would be like, you're saying the MCU is better than Back to the Future?
And I guess, like...
And, like, that statement, honestly, to me, is like, yeah, I can see why you'd be upset with that.
Yeah, I get that. I get that completely.
But are you saying that Iron Man is not better than Back to the Future?
I don't necessarily know that they're comparable. But, like, a lot of people love this movie in a way that I just don't love this movie. I read a piece of trivia earlier that, like, one of the film schools at UCLA or something, the film school at UCLA, I think, it was the one that I read, shows their, like, beginning screenplay class this screenplay as the example of a perfect screenplay.
Really?
Yeah. So I guess a lot of people are just a lot more hot on this movie than I am. Like, I don't by any means dislike Back to the Future. It's just I don't sit around thinking like, oh man, I gotta watch Back to the Future. It's been like 6 whole days.
Well, I mean, it's because it's only been 2 days. A day. You finished it today.
I finished it today. You're correct. But like,
we'll see where you are 6 days from now, because you better watch Back to the Future in 6 days, because we got a podcast.
Yeah, I gotta watch the second one, which is better.
I've heard from... Like, for those of you that don't know, I have never seen any of them.
Oh, yeah. I suppose we should say that. That's why we're doing this trivia. That's why we're doing this trilogy right now, is because Ty's never seen any of these.
Correct. There's like, you'll find as we do this podcast, there's a lot of classics that I just completely missed. And so we'll tackle those as they come. There's a bunch of different trilogies that, and like classic movies that I haven't seen. Included in that is Back to the Future. And I've always heard that people really love it, and it's this great series. I don't think I quite realized the reception it had as like...
I didn't either until this very moment.
The 96%?
Yeah.
That kind of surprised me. I thought it was going to be like an 85, honestly.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know it's good. I know people like it, but 96% from critics. Literally 4% of critics were like, this is less than favorable.
And I've heard a lot of people say that the two that are good are the first two.
Yeah, the third one's a steamy pile of trash.
Right. But I also hear a lot of people ask, which one's your favorite? And then they always follow it up with, mine is the second. But it's almost in such a way that, like, it's okay to say the first.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even Capital Cities in their song Farrah Fawcett Hair says that the second one is better.
Back to the Future 2.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I like it better, but I've never been the world's biggest fan of these movies. I was not around when they came out, at least this one. May have, like, been born for the third one, but I'm not positive about that.
You weren't.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
The second one came out in 89.
And then third came out in 90.
Really?
They came out a year apart. Yeah.
Weird.
I think they were greenlit for 2 sequels and then just boom, boom.
Ah, you are correct. 1990, May 25th, 1990.
I know.
Well,
that's why I said it.
And not even. They were 6 months apart.
Boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
November 22nd and May something.
25th, you just said.
I forgot it and it wasn't loading again.
Okay. So I've never seen these and I'm not going to lie to you. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. It's a good, wholesome, fun movie. Wholesome's a strong word.
Wholesome. Would we say wholesome?
Well, okay, so this was another piece of trivia I read that was interesting. Apparently, Disney refused to buy it, right?
Yeah, rights. I read about this. Yeah,
because
yeah.
It was too risque for them, for Disney. I mean, obviously, it was, you know, it's got a kind of an Oedipus complex thing going on. But it was considered...
Oedipus would have been the other way around, but yeah.
It was considered not risque enough by every other movie company, because I guess at this point it was like the world of like 16 Candles, all the John Hughes movies, which were just sex.
Right. Here's my thought on the too risque thing. I'm just going to dive right into the movie.
Go for it.
You know, like, I've heard that there's this like Oedipal complex in this movie, and I knew that was coming, and I was watching the beginning part of it, and I was like, okay, Marty is just George. That's like what's going to happen when he goes back in time, is that it's going to turn out that George no longer exists and Marty is George, and there's a new kid that's also Marty. I didn't really have it figured out, but the people were always hyping up this Oedipal complex like it was like a huge deal in the movie, and it is, but not in the way that I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could definitely get with that, but like in the way you think it's gonna be would just really really be too weird,
right?
That, like,
but then, well, because it's kind of like the Sarah Connor, John Connor Terminator thing, right? Except for, like, John Connor's his own dad or whatever.
Yeah, I have no idea how that whole thing works. I've seen, like, Terminator, the first one.
That's all in the first one.
It's been a long time and I don't really know how it works.
Right.
I don't get it.
Right. So then he goes back and George is real. George's haircut, by the way, making a comeback.
I was going to say, like, as of 2017, George's hair is McFly. Like,
am I right?
Yeah.
George, I was sitting there thinking,
George is a dweeb, but he's got great hair.
George is not a dweeb. Just untack that shirt and he would be like.
Yeah, but like compared to Marty, who is the coolest person ever.
Yeah, Marty is the coolest person ever in 1955.
And 85.
I know. I thought it was weird that they made him cool.
Yeah, he's got like a hot girlfriend. Like, he wins. Like, he's winning. There's no like tragic teen love story here. It's just straight up like Marty McFly is cool. He wears a jout fit. He has the vests. He like skateboards off the back of police cars.
Yeah, everybody's driving.
All the stuff that makes you not cool now. Like here in 2017, if you dressed like Marty or acted like Marty, you would be considered a douche.
I think you'd be. That's how we dressed in college. People used to approach you in college all the time.
Okay, just the vest,
and be like, Ethan, are you nice life preserver?
You going swimming?
Yeah,
because I had a puffy down Eddie Bauer vest. I still have it. I love it dearly. But like, if you wore all denim like that, you'd look like. Well, also, at the end, George has a different haircut. Like, when George is cool, it's a different haircut.
Yeah, George in the future?
Yeah. So that tells me that, like, in 1985 and 1955, because he has the same hair in both of those decades, George's haircut was not cool.
Not cool. Yeah. One of the things I noticed about this movie was, like, the 80s, as, like, a nostalgia piece, is super in 2017.
Yes.
In 2018.
Yes.
Like, the 80s are very retro chic cool.
Right. Right. Well, you gotta think in 85, the 50s were retro chic cool.
Right. I know zero about what the 50s were like.
Right. Like
watching this movie, I was like, I is that a cool 50s reference? I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, man.
Are these songs on the radio? Are they from the 50s? Is that like an anaphorism? Are they playing in the wrong decade?
No, those
right
songs
now?
Are from the 50s. I have a pretty good grasp of 50s music.
Oh, my gosh. I was totally.
Yes, my dear father, as much as I love him, is under the impression that they stopped making music in 1969. So I've got a pretty good grasp on everything before then.
He probably wouldn't have liked that Marty McFly guy there at the end.
I mean, he loves Chuck Berry.
Does he?
Let me tell you that. He loves Chuck Berry. He loves him some Chuck Berry.
Is that the joke there at the end? Chuck, I know you're
It's Chuck Berry's song, Johnny Be Good.
Oh, is it?
It's like the first rock and roll song.
Johnny Be Good. Yeah. Who knew?
Me.
I guess you knew that.
Most people. All right, well, let's run this one down a little bit real quick. I've got some, you know, early movie points to make, just some things I thought were cool. You know, I mean, this isn't obviously in a very heavy movie, so we're not going to, there's not a ton of theory really floating around with this one.
Whoa. I am under the impression that there is a lot of theory thrown around with this one, because there is a lot of attention to detail in
right for sure, but I mean most of it comes into play in the latter movies,
right? I think this could
and a lot of the attention to detail is just with any it's necessary with any time travel movie. It's like those things are important for that reason,
right? Because like it matters,
right? It's like you, the little things, you know, butterfly effect,
right.
But so we get, you know,
stupid truck.
They give us at the beginning a little idea of like who Marty is. You know, he's got we got to read stuff first of all to start with. Yeah, they make us read newspapers
and clocks.
There's lots of clocks all set to like 7:53 or whatever.
I think it's 7:55.
Something like that. I don't know. 20 something minutes before when it really is.
Right.
And obviously they've been gone for a while because the dog food bowl is just like over full.
I love all the robots and stuff. I feel like I am under the impression that robot technology has improved a lot in the last however many years. But like Doc's robot does pretty much what I think most robots do.
Right, which is like a complete one task. Right, but I also don't think Doc's robots were real then.
Oh, you don't?
No.
You don't think like science had those?
I mean, they may have. They definitely weren't consumer products. And I think, like, Alexa would probably have something to say about it.
I'll tell you one thing, though, is, I mean, they do, like, that little function. And, of course, like, if you watch those GE commercials where the robots can move in, like, every direction, you know, obviously that's a little bit different.
Yeah. But they got Tony Stark's robots that, you know, put fires out.
Right. Stuff like that. But, yeah, I thought, anyway, that's just my quick note on the robot.
True. I have a couple comments about this first scene. First of all, Marty turns that amp all the way up to 10 and then like turns the overdrive all the way up to 10, and plugging in that guitar would have made a noise that would blow windows out.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, plugging in guitars makes some truly horrendous noises.
It does. It does. You are a resident guitar player.
When the amp is turned up really loud, it's just like shakunk.
And then like it immediately goes into all the reverberations that are already in the strings.
Right. And
right?
He would have gone deaf immediately upon playing that noise. That chord.
Yeah, well, that just threw him across the room.
It would have burst his eardrums instantly. He would have gotten up just bleeding out of his ears.
What I mean, I get that the purpose of that is to teach us that Marty.
Yeah, Marty, not Morty.
I watch a lot of Rick and Morty, which is obviously based on these two characters. But Marty, is like the whole point of that is to show us that like, oh, he plays guitar and he's a cool guy and he's a rock star. But like, what did he think was gonna happen when he plugged that amp in? Was he just going over to Doc's house like, oh, yeah, I wonder if he's got any cool stuff? Oh, neat, an amp. Like, what did he?
I was under the impression that Doc had made some adjustments to the amplifier since last Marty used it.
Apparently, apparently,
yeah. So I guess Marty just comes over there and plays guitar every now and then. You know,
is that how they know each other? What's the history of their relationship?
I need some. No, I will. I mean, we find out the history of their relationship.
Well, we know the early. early part of their relationship. Oh, wait, we find the history of their relationship.
No, but I mean, like, you would assume at that point that, that Doc Brown would go, like, befriend this kid from a young age, even if Marty
doesn't.
Oh,
so you think that's why Doc Brown does that?
I think so. I think it's just, it's a self-fulfilling cycle.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, but, prophecy. Well, but other okay, than that, I have no idea. Okay. Like, maybe Marty's just a smart kid and he goes and hangs out with the local weird scientist.
Local mad scientist. Yeah, that could be it. In the past, Doc doesn't look any younger.
It's just his hair's different. He's got a little bit less makeup. A lot of people did a really bad job with the, like, older makeup. Like, Marty's parents.
I thought Marty's parents looked older.
Nah.
Maybe not old enough to have a kid Marty's age.
Well, like, I made the comment that Marty's sister looks older than her mother.
Yes. I remember watching that scene and being a little bit confused.
Yeah, because, like, Marty's mom is clearly just, like, a younger, much more attractive version of Marty's mom with, like, fat makeup on.
Yeah. And Marty was real quick to note that about his mom. He was like, hey, whoa, you're not fat.
Yeah.
Okay, Marty.
Marty, it's pretty rough thing to say there, Marty. there's a lot of Huey Lewis in this movie.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, somebody's gonna get chopped in the face.
So that Power of Love song, it was written for this movie.
Yeah, so it was Back in Time.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that was literally just hip to be square with different words put over it. But
it definitely was.
It's like the same song.
Huey Lewis song sounds the same, right?
No, they don't.
So did you know before...
Hey, Paul!
hi, Mark. Did you know that before... What's his name?
Whom?
Marty. Marty. Actor.
Michael J. Fox.
Before Michael J. Fox was able to be in this movie, Eric Stoltz, who is just...
Yeah, they shot like half the movie with this kid.
Shot like half the movie. And there's apparently like more history on the Eric Stoltz version of this film than like is ever relevant to talk about with Michael J. Fox in this movie.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting. As I was reading all the trivia and the backstory on this movie, trying to learn as much as I could before we did this, I was like, who is Eric Stoltz?
Yeah. So Michael J. Fox was the original choice, but he was working on Family Ties. So they just found some other guy.
Right. And then Michael J. Fox became available, and they were like, oh, screw the other guy. Let's get him.
Right, exactly. Well, apparently they came to a mutual agreement that Eric Stoltz was not right for the part. Like, even Eric Stoltz was like, I hate this. Yeah, so we get Marty McFly, and he's this guitar-playing, skateboarding, joutfit-wearing cool guy with the hot girlfriend and everything. He's just Mr. Guy.
Mr. Cool Guy. I don't think he's not like a... Is he like Biff? Is he like a bully?
I get the feeling like people like Marty. He's like Ferris Marty Bueller.
Ferris, huh?
Yeah, like people like Ferris. And, you know, he's late for school for the fourth time in a row. And the principal, like, just gets in his face, man.
Dude's a jerk.
And it's just like, you're just like your old man, McFly. You're never gonna be anything. I was like, yeah, okay. You better give up your stupid band now.
Yeah, dude. If you want to talk about a movie that really communicates that grown-ups did not jive with rock and roll.
Right.
Golly. Right. Let me tell you what would happen if you walked into a high school today and you had a rock and roll band. People like, wow, classical, you know... instrumentation in a band, very cool.
Yeah, like
very cool. They're not a loop pedal.
You found
up there.
A drummer,
right?
There's not. You found a loop somebody pedal who competently plays drums and wants to play drums with you. This is incredible.
This is very, very cool.
But then he goes to, you know, go to the audition for playing at the dance or whatever, and they get like halfway through the beginning of a Huey Lewis song, and Huey Lewis stands up and is like, "You're just too gosh darn loud."
Is that Huey Lewis?
That's Huey Lewis.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's super funny.
That is Huey Lewis.
See, it's stuff like that that I just right over my head.
Yep, that is Huey Lewis. Right. Well, I knew that from like trivia about this movie, like in the past having seen that. I wasn't just like, yeah, that's what Huey Lewis looks like in 85.
Right.
I couldn't point him out to you now. So
me neither. Huey Lewis could be walking in my house and I would point at him and say, there's an intruder in our house.
Yeah, I mean, he'd probably be a huge Huey Lewis is a huge
Is he?
He's like notoriously a huge
I wrote a note that Marty was kind of a jerk.
Why is that?
He just seemed like a little cool. Like, you know, you were talking about it before where it was like if in 2018, like the equivalent to what Marty's doing is like the kids that come to school with the like hoverboards or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yeah. No, I'm with that. But like, I think things were a little different back then. Like skateboarding was acceptable. And like,
right. Well, you and I skated in college and we were that guy for a little bit.
We also didn't like, we longboarded. We did not skateboard. There's a different culture there. But like, I know plenty of guys these days that wear high top shoes and denim jackets and skateboard. And we call them hardcore kids.
Did Marty wear a denim jacket?
Yeah.
I thought he wore denim pants.
Dude, this whole opening scene, he's wearing a, like a joutfit.
Like a cold jute.
Like denim pants and a denim jacket.
Interesting.
That was a thing.
That's stressing me out. Oh, it's stressing me out a lot.
Yeah.
So Marty, in 1985, since I promised people we're going to talk about cars, Marty looks at a Toyota truck.
Yeah, Toyota.
That he's dreaming about.
He calls it a 4x4.
I don't care, Marty. You know what Toyota you're supposed to be buying in 1985?
What?
What Toyota are you supposed to be buying in 1985, Ethan?
The MR2.
An MR2? Or is that the same thing as a Supra?
No, those are different. The MR2 was the mid-engine.
Whatever. A Supra.
I don't think they made the Supra until 86. I might be wrong about that, but the one you want's in 86.
Whatever. It's 85.
I did make a note about this.
85.
I did make a note about this, that apparently Toyota sponsors this movie, because every car is like a Toyota.
The DeLorean is made by DMC.
Okay, but like Ethan. Every other car, because even the commercial on the radio at the beginning, which, wow, car commercials have not changed.
Oh, I know. I work for a dealership, dude. Like, it's awful.
That dude is still like, get down to the sale, it's the lowest price in town. I'm like, this is right, the
lowest
same
prices
thing.
Of the season.
My daddy said sell the whole dealership.
But the DeLorean is made by DMC, and DMC was out of business in 1985 because John DeLorean was stung by the U.S. government in 1983 for dealing
really
trying to save his dealership.
I did not Boom. Know that. I thought DeLoreans were Irish.
No, DeLoreans were American vehicles.
I had it in my head somewhere they were made in Ireland.
I don't know where they were. I'm sure I do know, but I'm pretty sure they were made in America. And I know that John DeLorean was an American.
John DeLorean, man. DMC. DeLorean Motor Cars.
Yeah, man. It's just like the worst vehicle. Like,
yeah, they're notoriously horrible to own, operate, exist.
Did you know that the
but
the,
like I want
because
one.
Of the gull, because of the gull doors, and because of the stainless steel body, the doors are too heavy, so to open, so to cut on weight to make them just right, they only get half a window.
Yeah,
they only rolls halfway down.
The window only rolls down in like the middle.
Yeah,
it's so weird. It's such a weird car.
Yeah,
of course. When Why I was a kid, doors? When I was a kid, I thought the DeLorean came with the big like jets on the back.
Does I mean they make body kits for it?
They do, but it doesn't. Doesn't automatically come like that.
DeLorean is in talks to make quote-unquote new ones that have 80% refurbished parts from the originals.
That sounds like a terrible idea. Make ones with 100% new parts that don't suck.
Let me tell you what company does not have the money to do that.
Somebody should buy them.
DeLorean. Ah, that was the problem, was that John DeLorean had an investor ready to go to buy them and fix them, and instead of going with them, he wanted to fund it himself and funded it himself by selling.
What an idiot.
Yeah, real dumb dude.
What an idiot.
Real dumb dude, yeah.
Speaking of them making new ones, fun fact about this movie. Robert Zemeckis and Steven Spielberg have both stated, since they own the rights to the movie, that there will be no unauthorized sequels, remakes, reboots, or anything like that in their lifetime of this movie.
Correct.
And I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, me too. I'm not excited for the day where we have to watch a new one.
Not everything needs to be rebooted.
Correct. I mean, it's going to be weird when it's like Maria McFly. Played by Sarah Silverman, but
yeah. Oh God, I think Sarah Silverman's too old to play a teenager at this point.
She probably is. What was I just gonna say though? Oh man, I had another excellent point. Oh, last point on the DeLorean. I'm sure I'll talk about it more. But did you know that the 1985 version of the DeLorean, or I guess there wasn't no 1985 version, but the DeLorean that was out, the one that they drove, the 82, I think. DMC DeLorean 12.
I know nothing about this.
Do you want to know a fun fact?
Yeah.
The odometer stop, or not odometer, the speedometer stops at 85.
So they had to retrofit a new speedometer.
Yeah.
For it to go to 88.8 miles an hour.
88. It's just 88.
It's just 88?
It's just 88.
Well, okay. It becomes 88.8 at some point, I think.
Anyway, Ethan, what the hell is a gigawatt?
Gigawatt was the original established pronunciation of the word gigawatt.
How many gigabytes does that computer of yours have?
A lot. think a million. No.
A million?
A thousand.
A thousand. Yeah.
Not a million. Fun fact, I have the world's largest production computer.
It was real cheap.
It's got zettabytes.
Zettabytes of storage. I just wanted to quote the name of that one song. That's also the line from this movie.
What song?
What the hell is a gigawatt?
Oh. So we get introduced a little bit to Marty's parents. And like I said, George is a huge dweeb. And Lorraine just doesn't really seem to care about anything.
Oh, it's hard to watch George. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, he's like uncomfortably awkward.
Yeah.
And he's just, he bows down to this Biff dude who looks
Biff
a little bit too much like modern day Donald Trump for comfort. Like, this movie inadvertently became an asocial commentary that I don't know if it necessarily meant to.
Well, it definitely did not mean to. I don't think Zemeckis was sitting there in 85 like, you know what's going to happen in 2017?
I don't know. People have disliked Donald Trump for a long time.
That's true. Donnie was around back in 85.
Yes.
And Zemeckis did have some ideas on what was going to happen in the future. In the teens.
As we'll see next week.
Yeah. Is that next week?
Yeah.
I don't know which one goes to the future.
Oh, it's the next one. 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, they go to 2015.
You're sitting here. What? Cubs win the series.
In 2015?
Right?
No, 16.
That's what the movie says?
16. I don't know what the movie says. I can't remember. But yeah, so Biff is beaten up on Marty's dad because he, like, wrecked Marty's dad's car. And he goes, I spilled beer on my jacket while I was driving, which is really...
What a freaking statement.
Really gives you some idea about who this guy is.
Yeah. Oh, one sentence to really paint the picture of an entire character.
And then Marty turns into a total jerk. He's like, mad at his dad because the car got wrecked.
Well, Marty, he's like, what, 17? What does he know?
He's 17, yeah. He's like, Dad, you let the car get wrecked. I gotta take whatever her name is to the lake.
Jennifer.
I don't know. I have it written in here as Marty's hot girlfriend.
Jennifer, I think is her name.
Yeah.
Marty's gotta take Jen to the lake, and his dad's like, well, listen, son,
it's just kind of how things go.
That's just the way life is, you know? Biff's a jerk, and he is my supervisor at work.
And I'm a huge...
Yeah, what does he do? Is he, I guess, when I was first seeing
this,
he's a pencil pusher.
Yeah.
Because the world I was in was, Biff was like, you loaned me this car. And I was like, oh, does he write, like, lease agreements? Or is he, like, to work in a rental office?
No,
just a pencil pusher. It was just his car that he was letting Biff drive. I was projecting.
Yes.
You can see where I was where I was coming from, though, right?
No. Because they wouldn't have the car towed back to Marty's dad's house at that point.
I don't know how things worked in dealerships in 1985. Well, yeah. There's some crazy stuff going on. John DeLorean was doing cocaine.
I think car dealers are still doing that.
Not mine.
Some of them. But long story short, yeah, Marty has to go meet Doc at 1:15 a.m.
Yep.
Or 1:12 or something. 1:21, I think.
It was early.
Something like that.
1:21, because you need
it. Yeah, he leaves at 1:21. That's when Einstein comes back to.
And yeah, and Einstein is actually gone for 1 minute and 21 seconds.
Right.
And you need 1 minute, or 1.21 gigawatts!
Yeah, gigawatts.
To run the thing.
Which I thought was a word they just made up until I learned that today.
Gigawatt. Yep. I think a lot of people think
just
that,
how they pronounced gigawatt back in the day.
Yeah, it's a GIF.
I mean, I would agree with that, but a lot of people wouldn't.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad we have that on record.
So we get the DeLorean, man. We get introduced to the time-traveling DeLorean.
Yeah.
And Doc, who is wild.
Doc is wild, man. He's like your most stereotypical mad scientist ever. Every mad scientist...
But, like,
scientist,
he's not an evil mad scientist.
No, but he is a mad scientist, and he is kind of evil because he did steal from the U.S. government. Although, as we've learned in a lot of the movies we watched,
from the U.S. government.
Yes, he did. He stole from the Iranians, right?
Libyans. Who stole from the U.S. government.
Right, whatever. Plutonium stolen.
Yeah. Which I love the line that Doc says in 1955, and he's like, plutonium may be available in every drugstore in 1985. Like, nope.
No, it definitely wasn't. Nope. You went through some crazy hoops to get that.
That's why you died.
Yeah. Do you think Doc always died?
No.
Or do you think... Okay.
Doc never died. That's how that works.
Right. So you think Doc never died, period.
So once Marty, if you subscribe to the circular time travel theory, once Marty went back, there is no past in which Marty didn't go back.
Correct. But there is a timeline that ends once Marty goes back.
Right. And the new one begins.
Right, and they overlap.
So I guess there is a secondary timeline in which Doc does die, but Marty is also gone, and that timeline ends.
Right, that timeline ends completely.
Go watch Primer. It'll just hurt for 2 hours.
I don't like to be hurt.
But it gives a really good explanation on how this time travel theory works, but it hurts.
Yeah?
It's the most complicated movie ever.
Yeah,
I've watched it 11 times, and I still don't really get it.
You've been watching these great movies multiple times. Stresses me out.
You know, I still don't get it, so I gotta keep watching it until I get it. But, yeah, so essentially what happens is that you have to get the car up to 88 miles an hour, and it'll zap to wherever you want it to go.
Yeah, whatever you've already set.
To that spot in that time period.
Right.
So, you have to, like, it follows the logic of, like, the time machine. It can only travel in time.
Yeah,
it can't travel in space. It can only travel in time.
It can travel in space, but it can't, like, teleport in space.
No, it can't travel in space.
It absolutely travels in space. It goes from, like, point A to point B the way a car would.
Okay, but not while it's... Yeah, okay. But that's not part of the time travel thing.
Right, but part of the time travel thing is that it has to have velocity.
Right, it has to be moving at 88 miles an hour.
Right.
Which just seems like an irrelevant plot device, but whatever.
Odd choice of speed.
Well, no, just the whole thing that the car has to be moving in the first place.
Right.
is like, if you have the nuclear fusion engine on the back, like, he'd probably be all right regardless.
It's true.
But yeah, the car has to be going 80 miles an hour. And that's really just to, like, to, you know, provide an ending for the movie.
Right.
But
so that Marty can be driving.
But yeah, basically the doc is shot by the Libyans and Marty goes back to 1955.
So if this movie was made today, can I ask this question? If this movie was made today, who would have Doc gotten to steal the plutonium?
So it'd be ISIS.
ISIS. Yeah. I got ISIS to steal this plutonium.
Yeah, it'd be ISIS. Who, yeah, but Doc, like, gets in, I have one question about this real quick before we move on to the past. Doc gets in this, car to go, like, 30 years forward, right? Like, was he just gonna abandon the dog?
Yep.
That sucks, man.
Well, I mean, Marty's there to take care of the dog.
Yeah, but, like, there was never discussed.
He was willing to kill the dog if the time travel thing didn't work.
Yeah. Did you read the piece of trivia about how test audiences weren't told that it was a comedy?
Really?
Yeah. Nobody told the test audiences that it was a comedy, and they were just expecting something horrible to happen to the dog.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, apparently.
I was surprised there was Zemeca a dog.
Said, like, every time that. We did it, the room just got really quiet and tense.
I got quiet and tense. I was like, this might not work. And in 1985, you could probably just kill dogs on screen. Probably wouldn't even a big deal.
You definitely probably could, but they didn't. Yeah. They did not. Einstein was fine. And even Marty was just like, what are you doing, Doc?
I was, yeah. I don't know, man. John Hughes would have killed that dog.
John Hughes would not have killed that dog.
I don't know, man.
There's very little violence in John Hughes movies.
Isn't War Games a John Hughes film? Isn't that movie about maybe violence?
War Games is about nuclear war, but it's
right.
It's a Cold War movie. So no, it's not about direct violence. Is War Games John Hughes?
Maybe. I might be.
It seems pretty off-brand for John Hughes, but it was directed by John Badham.
Oh, what do you know?
I was going to say, it's not a rom-com, so it's very off-brand for John Hughes.
Not another teen rom-com by John Hughes.
Anyway, Morty. That's going to happen a couple
times. Listen, Morty.
He's listed a lot in my notes because my autocorrect kept changing his name. So he's listed a lot as Mary McFlurry. M-E-R-R-Y. M-C-F-L-U-R-R-Y.
Oh, that's funny.
Mary McFlurry. So he gets onto this person's farm because they had talked about how it was old man Peabody's farm back in the day. And then we see this farm. And essentially, instead of driving into, like, the phone booth, he drives into a scarecrow.
Yeah, and he kills a pine tree.
Kills a pine tree. I was hoping you would catch that.
Yeah, one pine.
Yeah, Lone Pines Mall. Because originally he went to the Twin Pines Mall. And then when he gets back to the future, it's the Lone Pines Mall.
There
which
it is.
Was like one of those just little detail things, which I think is cool.
Oh, yeah. A little continuity.
Yeah, but they think he's a UFO and they start shooting at him.
Yeah, they're ready to kill him. Do you know why his name is Mr. Peabody?
And because of the dog.
Yeah, Mr. Peabody and the Wayback Machine.
The Wayback Machine. Yeah, which was a pretty cool TV show back in the day that I've seen several episodes of and was a pretty movie a few years ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. Not Ty Burrell's best work, but not his worst either.
What do you got for me, Ethan?
So, can we talk about how much of a creep Marty's dad was back in the day?
Yeah. No, that's the kind of stuff that gets you kicked out of Hollywood these days, man. Right.
Like, he is.
You can't be doing that.
He is in a tree. And they talked about this at the beginning of the movie, this, like, romantic story. And they were like, what are you doing, George? Bird watching? And he's just like, about that. Because he was in the tree staring into Lorraine's window with binoculars.
Right, right.
And he fell out of the tree.
And then Marty saves him.
Marty saves him. And I was like, oh, that's bad. That's how they met. Oh, not good.
Not bueno, Marty.
But
not good, Marty.
Marty meets young Lorraine. And she is all about some Marty.
Yeah, she is like, hello, Marty.
Oh, man. She's like grabbing his leg under the table at dinner.
Yo, inappropriate. Inappropriate. Yeah. But her parents are all in on it. They're like, she's like, Marty should stay over in my room. And her parents are like, sounds good to me.
Please take advantage of my daughter.
Right. And this movie was all about taking advantage of some folks. It was a lot more mainstream.
I noticed that. I'm like,
take advantage
a lot of these
in
jokes would not fly.
Yeah, these are not Marty McFly jokes today. No siree.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So Marty's trying to figure out how to get to Doc's house, and he knows the address, and they're telling him the road, and he goes, oh, that's John F. Kennedy Drive. And the guy's like, who the hell is John F. Kennedy?
I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, man. It's great. And he knows the TV show. Like,
yeah, he knows the episode.
Like, oh, this is a great one. And the kid's like, it came out now. This is live.
<It's> brand new. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, we got two televisions at my house, and then his mom is like, oh, you must be rich.
The kid says that, and then the mom's like, don't be silly, no one has two televisions.
Yeah, we have two televisions in my house, fun fact. We have a third one
with you when you bought one of them.
We have a third one that's in the basement. Just
why do you have a television in the basement?
Because it was our TV television, or our bedroom television, and it is now
the basement television.
The basement.
For the basement you don't use.
Or the storage room's television. Yeah. In storage.
Yeah. But Doc, like I said, Doc has that hilarious line about how plutonium's a little hard to come by.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, who's president in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, the actor. That was...
I could never
that
be.
That was hysterical. Apparently Ronald Reagan thought that was funny, too.
Good thing, too.
Yeah.
Oh, Ronnie.
He made the projectionist, when he saw the movie, run that part back so he could watch it again.
That's hilarious.
Because he thought it was hysterical. The doc
can you imagine,
didn't believe he was president.
Can you imagine working in, like, the presidential theater and, like, actor Ronald Reagan is like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Play that back?
Yeah.
But also president actor Ronald
Well,
Reagan.
I was going to say for a second that I think that presidents probably just go to the movie theater, and then I remember that it's not a great idea for presidents to go to the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Ethan. A good idea. Not a good idea.
What, do you just hate Lincoln?
So, I got a question for you.
What?
So, Biff, young Biff, who is a huge right?
Different actor, right? We're all, right?
I no? don't think so. Yes. I think it's the same guy. They're all the same guy.
Wow.
Pretty sure it's supposed to be the same guy.
Okay.
I think that's the thing. It's like, that's why everybody looks, like, air quote, old. When Biff has got his cronies, right? His group of friends.
You asking me why one of them is
wearing 3D glasses? I'm asking you why one of them is wearing 3D glasses at all times.
I literally was going to ask you that same question. Why is one of them wearing, like, the red and blue hued 3D glasses?
I don't know. I don't know.
All the time.
I don't know. I don't understand
it. I mean, I know there was a phase when, like, Harry Potter in 3D came out.
Yeah.
To wear them. No, there was a different... It was in, like... It was, like, Nerd Day at school. You'd wear the Wayfarers, but you'd punch the lenses
out. Yeah, when
out,
real D
and
happened.
Then people were, like... Yeah, and then people were, like, wait a minute. That's kind of cool looking. Wayfarers just as regular glasses.
Yeah, now we have hipsters.
Yeah. I think mine are a little rounder than
yeah,
Wayfarers.
Yeah, yours are... they're not as big either.
Yeah. No, they're definitely not as big. I will say, just on the topic of my glasses real quick. When I went to the eyeglass store, very strange... time to go to the eyeglass store because the lady that works there like deals with eyeglasses for everybody. She's not like a hip young professional eyeglass salesman, so she doesn't care, right? She's just like, just pick a pair you like, whatever, no big deal.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, so these are the ones I have. They're kind of sleek, they're kind of cool, and they were Ray-Bans, and I liked them, but I was like, but I need to go way nerdier, and they've got to be turtle shell because I feel like black is too limiting. I need something I can wear with everything and not feel like an idiot. And I said, let's just get the nerdiest thing you have and work backwards from there. And this pair I'm wearing was like three pairs.
There you go. I like that pair. They look very good.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. She was like, they're too small for your face. I was like, okay.
Yeah, you look fine.
I'll take it.
You look fine.
That's what I said.
Yeah. No problem.
I'll fight you, lady.
So we got a problem here. Marty. Marty's the right name. Dang it. I got it right.
Marty.
I got it
Marty.
Right. And I felt like I was
He's
wrong.
He's very... Doc and Marty, Rick and
he's
Morty.
He's got his brother is disappearing from the picture that he's got.
Yeah. Ooh,
because George and Lorraine never fell in love. So.
Okay, but like, then Marty still exists? I'm not quite sure I understand why they're like disappearing one at a time.
You can, because that's how the movie works. Because Marty's the one that went back in time and not Danny or whatever.
Right.
You know, I think if it was Danny McFly, that first of all, wouldn't have been as cool. Second of all, yeah, it's just how the movie works. Don't question that part.
Okay, cool. I'll take it.
But, like, Biff is about to take this girl and take advantage of her, in layman's terms, in the cafeteria. Like,
right?
What is happening? What is the 80s?
What? This is the 50s.
50s. But... What is the 50s? Not the 80s.
The 50s is
what is
roughly...
What is the 80s movie? Like, I don't know, man.
They're going steady. Going steady.
Yeah, they weren't.
I know. Did you hear about... What was it? What's the mom
Hugo
name?
And Kim.
Hugo and Kim, but this is...
Lorraine and Biff.
Name? Lorraine and Biff. Did you hear about Lorraine and Biff?
Yeah.
It doesn't,
quite work as well. but yeah, so he's about to take advantage of her in the cafeteria, and George couldn't care less. George is just like, I'm a nerd. The dance is going to get in the way of my science convention, or whatever it is.
And listen, let me tell you what, like, 2017, it would be like, oh, you don't want to go to the dance. I think this was in Spider-Man. It was like, oh, you don't want to go to the dance. You want to go to the academic decathlon.
Right.
That's what cool kids do.
Right. Like... Yeah, definitely would have been different now. But so Marty has to convince his dad to ask Lorraine out. And
the girl that he's been peeping Tom.
Right. And how does he do it? He sneaks into George's house at night and plays him a Van Halen tape dressed in a radiation suit and makes him think he's an alien named Darth Vader.
From planet Krypton?
From planet Vulcan.
Not Krypton, Klingon. Vulcan.
Because it's the 50s and Star Wars hasn't happened yet.
Star Wars has not happened yet.
Yeah.
What? Did he kill? Did Marty McFly kill Star Wars?
What do you mean?
Well, Georgie McFly writes his fame and fortune comes from being the best-selling author of Darth Vader of Planet Vulcan or whatever.
No, it was the match from outer space or whatever. I think he probably just changed the names.
I think the word Darth Vader's on there, I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
Could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a match made in space. And it's got a picture of two kids and the spacesuit thing. Darth Vader's not written
on
it.
Yeah, with him. But he's got the Klingon thing, right?
What Klingon thing? You keep saying Klingon.
Not the Klingon. The Vulcan thing.
No.
He's live long and prosper. Isn't he doing that in the picture?
I'm looking at it. He's not doing it.
Okay.
We'll post a picture, but he's not doing it. So he convinces George to ask him out or ask her out by being an alien, and it's hysterical. Because George goes to ask her out at the soda parlor and he buys a chocolate milk for courage.
Oh man, let me tell you what works. Chocolate milk for
courage.
He
walks in there and he's like, give me a milk. Chocolate.
Chocolate. And it like slides across the table to him.
I was like, George, you were just cool for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And
I wish more restaurants need to stock chocolate milk.
I would agree with that, but we don't really have like soda parlors anymore.
I wanted to open a soda parlor, but as luck would have it, the only soda parlor I've ever been to was right around the corner from my house.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, the only soda parlor worth noting in the entire city you live in is a block away from where you live.
It's like, how unlucky can I get?
Yeah, no, don't do that. Just support Pops.
Yeah.
And then, so what ends up happening is nothing good for George because Biff walks in and she's like, hey, McFly, I told you not to come around this soda parlor anymore.
It's going to cost you. How much money you got on?
Yeah, and so Biff, just being the usual that he is going to extort George for money. Marty has to step in and look even cooler because he invents skateboarding.
Yeah,
how he cool takes is that kid's weird like box scooter thing, rips the box part off, and goes skateboarding on it.
It's like a fruit carrier thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but like it was, I guess, some kind of thing that they jerry-rigged together and made a scooter.
In the 50s.
So, yeah, Marty invented skateboarding, essentially.
Can you imagine how cool Marty would have been with a Razor scooter or maybe a pair of Heelys?
No. Huh. No one is cool in Heelys. This episode of Bacon and Eggs is brought to you by Never Wearing Heelys. Never Wearing Heelys is a great idea.
Did you ever wear Heelys?
No.
Yes, you did. No, we like bought them together.
They were gone by the time we met.
But then they made a little comeback in the Vine days.
They did, but like Heelys we weren't allowed to wear them in school.
I know.
Because I never had them, but I did know people that did have them, and you weren't allowed to wear them in school.
It was a criminal move.
Yeah. So
they were very heavy and very hard to walk normally.
I had no desire to have Heelys because when I was like 5 years old or something like that, maybe six, my dad bought me a skateboard, right? And decided to like teach me how to skateboard by just kind of letting me ride down the hill in front of my house, which is a pretty steep hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I proceeded to tremendously hurt myself.
Okay. I don't understand. This seems like you've learned your lesson that scars heal. Glory never fades.
Glory fades was the next line.
Chicks dig scars.
But like, I just wasn't interested in experiencing that pain anymore. So maybe if I lived somewhere flatter where it wasn't a terrible idea to have Heelys, I might have had Heelys.
I know I had them. I think they're Ben's.
That doesn't surprise me.
Oh, Ben was all in on Heelys.
Ben was all in on everything that 4 years later Ty wanted.
Yeah, duh.
How often did you wear that freaking like 3D jacket?
A lot. You left it home. It was awesome. Hurt everybody. Nobody liked looking at it.
It was awful. But yeah, he invented skateboarding. He covers Biff in manure. And Lorraine is just like, man, you are so cool. Please just do horrible things to me in my parents' house.
She even like, yeah, like she's in on it. On like, she's like, take advantage of me.
And I knew that was going to be a thing later on where Marty's like, you know, oh, I'm going to pretend to take advantage of her. And that's how you'll rescue me. And I was like, she's going to be so into that.
Yeah. Although like when it does get down to dirty, I've been in parking lots before.
Yeah, she can't follow through.
She chokes up.
But what was I gonna say? Yeah, so they're trying to get her to be interested in George because obviously they needed her to be interested in George so that Marty continues to exist. But meanwhile, Doc's got his whole plan for getting Marty back to 1985. And he says a great line where he's like, I'm sorry, Marty. I didn't have time to make the model to scale or get it painted. It's like this
and it's
perfect
like
representation of town.
I thought that was hilarious. I literally laughed out loud at that moment, and I was watching the movie at my parents' house with Emily there, with my parents, and they did not laugh. And I was like, how did nobody else think that was hilarious?
Hysterical. I was up at like 1 o'clock in the morning in my bedroom, just laughing out loud.
That was a good moment. I'm sorry, Morty. I know it's not to scale, but...
I will say that watching this movie after Rick and Morty has come out makes Rick and Morty make a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, I haven't seen this movie in a long time. And just the, Marty like, the relationship much, between those two.
Marty. Marty is way cooler
right,
than
but
Morty.
Just the way they like talk.
Right.
Or at least Doc. Like, I could totally get the Rick Sanchez character now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they got to drive under the electrified cable hanging off the clock tower at exactly 10:04 p.m. because that's the time that the clock is going to get struck by lightning.
We know this because of the flyer.
Right, the flyer. Yeah, which at the beginning, I was like, man, this woman is annoying because I'd forgotten about this whole thing. I was like, she's just like, save the clock tower! And I was like, man, if you got up and...
I had never seen this movie and I knew right away. I was like, oh, that moment 30 years ago was going to be important.
Well, no, it's because all I could think of was like, man, if somebody got in my face and screamed that, I would literally hit them.
I know you would, because you're not a very good person, but I would listen to them, and I'd be like, you know
no,
what?
No. There is thank no for, excuse for ever being in that invasive in somebody's personal space.
Thank you for taking an investment in your local community.
If you stick
monuments.
A flyer 1 inch away from my eyes,
thank you.
Nothing
for
is going to go well for
me of these current events in our
like,
community.
That might make me a bad person, but that is definitely not the way to get me to listen.
Thank you for getting involved.
Like, at that point, I would burn the clock tower to the ground just out of spite.
Oh, man.
I just, like, I don't like people sticking pieces of paper in my face. If that makes me an unreasonable person, then that is my sin.
How do you
Lord,
deal with, like, autographs
me.
And stuff? What? How do you deal with, like, doing autographs?
If somebody
and stuff?
Sticks something for me to autograph 1 inch away from my face, I'm gonna break it. Like, if you're like, here, sign the CD, and you do that by sticking it against my nose...
I do that. I actually had that reaction.
I will experience
today.
The minor finger pain it takes from snapping a CD in half.
Oh, classic.
The whole time, Marty is trying to talk to Doc about, like, the future that happens, trying to convince Doc not to get shot. And Doc just is continually telling him, hey, Marty, bad idea, hombre. And he's, like, 100% right. Because, like, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Doc should not know that he dies in 30 years.
Right. Like, what if bulletproof vest isn't going to prevent it?
Well, not even that. It's, like, I think that Doc truly did wait until 85 to open it. Like, I firmly believe that.
I think so, too.
If Marty told him, like, right there and then, like, hey, on October 26, 1985, you're going to get shot. Like, that is if you know that 30 years ahead of time, that's a strong thing to tell somebody.
Yeah, I would start skydiving daily.
No, but
without a
parachute. What you got to think about is, like, if somebody told you today the exact date, time, and moment of your death, it would definitely change your life.
Well, yeah. Because if it's non-negotiable, now you can do all the most dangerous things. But no, if it's non-negotiable, you can just do the most dangerous things and be like, I'm going to Chernobyl, and it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If that was the case, then like, and I love the stories and like books, movies, everything they've written on that premise. So like, you are immortal until that point.
Right, and then you are 100% mortal. You are
dead. No, it's like, you can obviously change the course of history, and somebody tells you like, hey, you're going to die at this day and time. Like, I feel like you would want to do something to alter that. Like, nobody wants to get shot.
No.
And that's
why you go skydiving without a parachute.
That's the danger here, is that Doc is going to do something to alter his future and then never invent time travel.
Oh, so then this whole thing doesn't
right.
happen. Is that what you're trying to
tell me? Yeah, like this never happens. Like, Marty never happens. It's all tied together. You know, you step on a butterfly. Okay, so this is right where I stopped last night and started today. In that, like, Lorraine shows up at Marty's or at Doc's house. She, like, followed him home.
Yeah, she's super creepy.
Yeah, they all
and I know,
are.
Like, it's all playing, it's all, like, on the joke that she makes at the beginning of the movie that's, like, a woman calling a man, that's not okay.
Right.
I would never have done something
right.
like that.
Right, and she's, like, obviously proving that she is not this person.
Right. She's, like, ultra creepy, dude. Like, Marty, even if she wasn't your mom.
Yeah, like, don't.
Back
yeah,
off,
don't
bro.
Don't go for girls like that. You got Jennifer. She seems perfectly normal. She just wants to go to the lake and have a nice weekend.
In your truck.
Yeah, in your brand new truck. Your brand new Toyota
4x4.
Yeah, 4x4. Whatever it's called back then.
Just King Cab Tacoma, whatever it is.
Yeah. Which looked like a very modern truck for 1985.
Wheelbase was kind of
but
short.
It looked like it was from the 90s, like the late 90s.
Yeah, it was like a Baja, but a little
yeah,
bit
it was weird. But anyway, yeah, so she just followed Marty home because she's a creep, and he's still just like, you should go with George. And she walks in and she's like, this may be a little bit forward, but can you take me to the dance tomorrow?
Yeah, would you ask me to
yeah,
the
would
dance
you ask
tomorrow
me to
or
dance?
Something like that?
And he's and just he's like, you don't
no.
already have somebody to go with? And she's like, no. And he's like, what about George? And she goes, what, George McFly? And says that whole line about how, like, I think a man should be strong so he can protect the woman he loves.
Yeah, you didn't think that, like, the alternate version of 30 years ago when George was hit by a car.
Yeah, you're clearly willing snooping on you. You're clearly willing to hop into bed with anybody your dad hits with a car.
Like, immediately. Like, she was immediately like, wow, Calvin McFly, you're pretty freaking
Calvin
hot.
Klein. I forgot about that part.
I can't believe, yeah, that was something that,
like... She calls him
Calvin
Klein because it's written on his underwear. Because
in the 50s, that's what you put on your underwear was your name.
Yeah, and Calvin Klein didn't exist.
Was he a man? When was Calvin born?
I mean, Calvin Klein was obviously a person.
Right, but was Calvin Klein alive in 95?
Calvin Klein was probably alive, but the Calvin Klein brand was not started until 68.
Okay, so yeah, he definitely probably wasn't 13 at most.
Yeah.
When the Calvin Klein brand was started.
He was born in 1942. Okay. So he was alive. He is still alive.
Calvin. Can I call you Calvin?
Can I call you Calvin? Well, my name's Marty, and she still calls him Calvin after that.
Did you notice Marty never gives up his last name at the end?
Yeah, of course not.
Because
then they would know he's like related to George McFly, which right. is not a super, not common, a super name. Common name.
So Calvin, I mean Marty.
Why is that confusing?
I don't know. So his mom kind of a floozy here in the old.
She
50s.
Is willing to jump into bed with anybody who gets hit by her dad's car. So yes. I think that all he needs to do is have her dad hit George. And
you think that would have solved?
I think that would have solved the whole problem. I think they're being way too complicated with this.
But he needs her to, like, I don't know. I think that after Marty's been hit, she's already hooked. That's what we learn. Is
yeah,
that
no, I mean,
like,
for sure, for sure.
Hook, line, and sinkered on Marty McFly.
Right, is that, like, she is in love with Marty McFly, and she's not interested in George.
And what bothers me about this whole situation is that Marty is giving her all the signs that, like, hey, I'm just not that into you.
Right, and she doesn't listen.
Like, she isn't listening at all. She's completely oblivious. And then when she kisses him, and it's, like, not to be, she's not even, like, embarrassed. She's like, oh, it's like I'm kissing my brother.
Because she knows
and
what that feels like.
Right, well, I mean, I think you would know what that feels like. You don't have any siblings.
I mean, probably. I'm just saying. It's kind of a strange way to put it.
No, I think it makes sense.
Well, I don't have any siblings, so.
I mean, I've never kissed my brother.
Yeah, have you?
Like, I don't know.
Well. You never know until you don't knock until you try it.
I don't know. That's what I want to promote.
Bacon eggs is definitely not brought to you by kissing your brother.
Right. Oh,
do
God.
Not do that.
But, like, she, like, Marty's not into her.
At all. 0%.
And endo story, right? And, like, she plays it off like, oh, this isn't going to work because I'm not into you. And it's like, no, this isn't going to work because you have been pressing a situation that Marty doesn't want to happen.
Right. He is, like not happy with this. He is not willing to bang you. Like, he's not going to, and you're just pushing yourself on him. And if this was the other way around, you'd be furious.
Well, apparently not in 1950.
Well, she may not have been furious, but right. somebody else would have been furious. Anyway, right. So their plan to get George in her good graces is that Marty is going to pretend to take advantage of her, and then George is going to rescue him. Rescue her. Yeah, you know, get your damn hands off of her.
Should I swear? I shouldn't swear.
And she does. Or he does. But yeah. Meanwhile, Doc is setting up his whole thing. His whole experiment that he calls it a weather experiment because the policeman's giving him grief for it.
He is. He's giving him a lot of questions. He's like, do you have a permit? And then, like, you think Doc's going to pull out a little Ron Swanson style permit that's like, yeah, I can do whatever
and
I
then
want.
He just has Doc. A permit for it.
Right. But he's got, like, a normal, proper, like, went through the appropriate channels.
Well,
because,
like I said, he's a bad scientist. He's not evil.
He's not evil. He was working with terrorists.
He was working with Libyan terrorists. But that was in the 80s.
I don't think it was okay then,
well,
dude.
You know,
I don't,
Cuban
Missile
Crisis. Whatever. They were all over the place.
That was the 60s.
It was the Cold War. Early 70s? The Cold War was happening. The Cold War was not happening in the 50s. Maybe it was. I don't know. Don't judge me.
I don't know. History.
It ended slightly before we were born, so we can get away with it.
Boom.
But yeah, so this whole time, Marty's in the car with his mom, and she, like, pulls out a bottle of booze.
Did you know that's a real bottle of booze? They were messing with Michael J. Fox.
Was that why he spit it out?
Yeah, well, he was supposed to spit it out, but they didn't tell him it was going to be
I
real booze.
I did not know that.
Water.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hysterical. Good for them.
And he's like, Mom, you can't drink. And then he's like, Mom,
yeah,
she can't smoke.
He grabs the booze because he's like, yeah, you got a good point. And then she pulls out a cigarette.
And he's like, whoa.
Oh, this is too weird. Is the 50s. And then she just starts, she pushes herself on him, man. She starts making out with him.
Yeah. And he's like, stop.
Yeah. And then she pulls off and she's just like, oh, well, that was weird.
It's like I was kissing my brother.
And then Biff shows up.
Motherfucking.
And Biff is drunk. And Biff is still there with his friends. Who one of the guys is still wearing 3D glasses.
Same, like, oh man, yeah. The whole time.
And Biff decides to take advantage of her in the car. In Marty's car.
In Marty's convertible from 1950
something. So he is just gonna put the business on Lorraine here while Biff's cronies stuff Marty into the trunk of the band.
Yeah, what on earth? Yeah. What did they think was going to happen?
And these five big old black dudes pop out with, like, marijuana in their hands. And they're just like, we don't want to do anything to do with any reefer smoking people. I was like, wow, how much more lame could you get?
Right.
And the band just kind of chases them off, and they get Marty out of the trunk, but the guitar player slices his hand open. Oh my god, what are they going to do now? They don't have a guitar player. While this is happening, George gets his shining moment, and he opens the door, says his line, before he realizes it's Biff.
And then he's too far gone now.
Right, he's in on it, and Biff hops out of the car, and George tries to punch him, and Biff just, like, takes him down.
And then he comes back.
And then, well, he comes back because Biff, like, throws Lorraine to the ground, and right. Biff just like... hulks out on him. Just a little bit of hit his ass,
hit his ass,
and Biff does a 360 and falls to the ground.
Hit his ass.
Yep. And I'm just,
I haven't heard that.
I'm sitting here this whole time. I'm like, Marty, get out of here, bro. You done your duty. Get out of here. But wait, he's got to be the guitar player.
Oh, but wait, there's more. Because the band's got to play.
If the band doesn't play, the kids don't dance. They don't kiss. They never fall in love.
That's right.
And so he's got to go play Earth Angel with this soul band.
What a classic.
And he starts, like, falling apart as it's happening. He's disappearing in real life.
And the band, who was like, we could never play without a guitar player, keeps playing.
Because why is George not kissing Lorraine? Why? Because somebody else is dragging Lorraine away without her consent to go do
somebody
whatever
dorkier
to
than
her.
George.
Just dragging her away.
He pulls up and he's like, I'm going to come take advantage of you or something. He says something like along those lines. It's
ridiculous. I don't get it, man. Why is everybody taking advantage of this poor girl? Because she's open for business, as she clearly describes. Not that that's a good reason. I'm not saying that's a good reason.
Yeah, asking,
like,
for
we
it.
We are like, just as confused by this behavior as everybody else. That's why we're commenting on it. Is like, this is terrifying. Yeah. The fact that people used to get away
respecting
with this stuff.
Respecting women it just seems to be so obvious to me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I feel like we have a problem with respecting women in this society. And like, I look back at this society in the 50s, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Guys.
Stop. It's a school dance. Stop trying to rape people at a school dance.
Oh my god. Oh god.
But
stop trying to rape people. Let's just
George throws him off, gets Lorraine back. They kiss. Marty's fine. The picture's fine. Everyone's good. But wait, there's more. We gotta play something that really cooks. We gotta invent rock and roll first. So Marty,
the world isn't ready for
Marty
rock
goes
and roll.
Up there and the is world just is like not ready. All right, guys, this is a oldie. Well, it's an oldie where I come from. And he goes back to the band and goes, it's a blues ripping A. Try to keep up. And starts playing Johnny B. Good. And the singer, the old guitar player, gets on the phone with Chuck Berry. And he's just like, Chuck, this is your cousin, Marvin Berry. You're looking for that new sound? I found it. And holds the phone up. Oh, man. And then Marty throws some, like, Van Halen solos in there. He starts, like, getting on his knees and playing.
Doing the Axl Rose thing.
Not Axl Rose. Axl Rose is a singer.
Yeah. Oh, whatever. The dude from... Who's the guitar player?
From what? From AC/DC? Axl Rose was in Guns N' Roses, for starters. But okay. You're thinking of Angus Young.
Angus Young.
On his knees
close.
Thing. And I just have one comment. Just a little bit of CinemaSins thing. As I am a guitar player, that last note that Marty holds out is way too high of a note for that string he's playing.
Yeah, I think so.
I picked up a guitar and played it.
Yeah, let me tell you about Marty not actually playing that guitar.
He's got great form.
Marty is not he's actually playing
that
guitar.
He's got great form, though. Yeah, with that right hand. I was like, dang, man, you're looking good. I know you're not playing it, but you look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, what really gets me is in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I always think it's George Clooney.
It's not.
I know it's not. George Clooney can't sing.
Great lip sync, though.
Yeah.
We should cover that movie.
The Odyssey. We could do a whole series on, like...
movies based on the Odyssey.
High school English class.
Oh, well, we went different ways with that, but we could do both of those.
Yeah, we do, like, Death of a Salesman and what was that John Proctor one?
The Crucible. Is there a Death of a Salesman movie? That sounds horrendous.
It sounds rough. Gatsby.
Both of them. Let's see. Yeah, 1996 film.
I bet it sucks.
It looks like it's got a very short Wikipedia page. It looks like it's not. Oh, there was a 1966 film. That's the normal one. Oh, that was also Arthur Miller, turns out.
I knew that.
Yeah, well, you said that Arthur Miller play about not Death of Salesman, so.
What? I said John Proctor.
Oh. Okay, never mind. I heard you something different in my head. I was thinking about Arthur Miller, who wrote Death of a Salesman. I think he wrote The Crucible, too.
Did he?
So.
I don't know.
He did write The Crucible.
Okay.
He did write The Crucible. I was getting there somewhere.
There it is. Salem Witch Trials.
So yeah, Marty invented rock and roll, And he, you know, he's on his way out and he passes his parents who are now hooking up. And they're like, will we ever see you again? He goes, I guarantee it.
You're going to like the way you look.
I guarantee it.
I guarantee
Hey, if you ever have kids together and one of them accidentally sets the rug on fire when he's 8 years old, just
go easy
on him.
And you know what they did? They bought him a Toyota 4x4.
Yes, they did, because they're rich now. Because George is the best-selling author of The Match Made in Space.
Yep, go Georgie.
Go George. Anyway, while this is happening, Marty's got 8 minutes to get back and get everything done.
Oh my gosh, and this goes on forever.
Yeah, it does. Way more than 8 minutes.
Yeah.
But they're going to send him back to the same time, because it'll be like he never left. And Marty's just sitting there like, yeah, like he never left. Show up to Doc's dead body.
He doesn't want
to
do that.
Doesn't want to do that.
Doesn't want to do that at all.
But we got to have this whole dramatic thing happen, because the tree falls on the wire, and Doc spends like 27 years clinging onto that gargoyle, trying to plug the thing back in.
And then he breaks it. He busts it. Although I think we all know that feeling of working with like an extension cord, and you got to pull it.
And it pulls out from the other end.
It pulls out from the other end. Oh my gosh. Can't tell you. I have an electric powered leaf blower.
I bet you've done that a couple times.
Done it a couple times, my friend.
I do that with the vacuum at work all the time.
You have to vacuum things at work.
Yeah. Okay. We got carpet.
We have a cleaning
guy. We don't. I'd rather have a pay raise than a cleaning guy. So.
Me too. Our cleaning guy's already on payroll, though. He does other stuff. No, also on Sundays.
We only have salespeople. But yeah, so yeah, Doc unpulls the thing from the other end, unhooks the thing from the other end, and he makes this like zip line thing to go ahead and get it plugged back in.
And it works, sort of, I guess. I mean, yeah, it works.
But
everything's timed up perfect. I think Doc died in 1955, really, because he was struck by lightning.
He didn't die. He was fine. but the car, meanwhile, was dying, and like Marty was having to like beat on it and get it to work. So he slams his head in the dashboard, and that makes it work.
DeLoreans, man.
And so
cars before like computers.
Long story short,
were the problem.
It works. The clock is broken again. Everything's good. Marty lands in 1985 and drives straight into the front of the movie theater.
Like you do. Movie theater showing some gross grown-up films.
There was a triple X-rated movie theater there.
Was that a thing in the 80s? Could you just go to, like, the adult cinema?
Yeah, it was.
I don't like the 80s.
No, it was the thing. You could just go watch porn movies in the theater.
That's so weird.
Yep. Not nice. Not good things. Not good things at all.
I like 2018. Yeah. 2018
is gonna be
so
it's gonna be cool.
Be very well.
It hasn't started yet.
Got high
2018
hopes.
Is gonna be awesome. But Marty's car dies again, because why wouldn't it? Really, it's a DeLorean.
Right.
So Marty wasn't supposed to hit his head on the door every time he got out of it.
No.
That was a gag they wrote in afterward because the door mechanism started failing.
I read that happened.
Yeah, because these cards,
so Marty
these cards
out.
Are huge piles of garbage.
So he, like, can't make it to Doc in time because...
Right, the terrorists drive right back to him. He decides to run to the Lone Pine Mall, which is now the Lone Pine Mall.
Right.
And he sees Doc get shot again, and the terrorists drive into into the phone booth or whatever it is, the bank thing, whatever, I don't know, something they drive into something.
It's a 24-hour
That's
photo.
Yeah, drive into that, and apparently that just, you know, stops them from coming back and shooting Doc when they found out he's alive, but whatever. So Doc is alive because he's had a bulletproof vest on, and Marty's like, how did you do that? I never told you. And he pulls out the letter that
I'm confused, though. Didn't Doc rip up the letter?
He did, and it was taped back together.
Oh, yeah. It was?
It's taped back together. So Doc drives him home, and he's like, and Marty's like, where are you going? He goes about 30 years forward, and
good round number.
So, he goes to 2015. Marty's like, I'll be 47. It'll be great.
Look me up.
Marty goes inside and takes a nap and, you know, wakes back up, and everything's different. His siblings have jobs now. They're not bums, and his parents are cool, and Biff is waxing.
Cool. His mom's skinny.
Yeah, his mom's skinny, and Biff is waxing his dad's BMW, and you know Biff's got this sick Adidas tracksuit going on.
Yeah, it looks like a Russian gangster.
Yeah, this green Adidas tracksuit, and George is a writer. He wrote A Match Made in Space about how George asked Lorraine out.
Yeah, and it's a love story for the ages.
And Biff comes in and hands Morty the keys. I keep saying Morty. Hey, those of you listening to Bacon and Eggs, go back and count how many times I said Morty instead of Marty.
I'm sure it's
got to be at least
number.
Seven.
Gotta be.
Yeah, he's got the keys to that sick 4x4.
The slick 4x4. And Biff is like, already got it all waxed up for you.
Yep, waxed up for you for the weekend. And then Jennifer's just like standing outside his house.
Yeah, and she's like, you look like you haven't seen me in a week.
I haven't. It's like, yeah, you've had a pretty rough week too, trying to convince your parents to fall in love.
Yeah.
But then Doc shows back up and says the thing, we got to go back. to the future.
Yeah, he's all about some.
Yeah, he hops out in this wild outfit.
I don't know what to expect. It's from this next movie.
Absolutely fucking nothing like what 2015 had in store for us. Let me tell you what, it's not quite as wrong as 2001: A Space Odyssey, but it's close.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good, and I think that's why everybody like these days likes it so much. It's because it's like a time that was manageable for us,
right?
Like, especially in the last couple of years, like we know what 2015 was like.
It was a great, time. What happened in 2015? I graduated from college.
I have no idea what else happened.
Not much else.
2015 was not. I made a lot of decisions. But yeah, so he and Doc and Jennifer all hop in the car, and Marty's like, "Well, Doc, you better back up because we don't have enough road because there's just an empty freaking street in front of them. So you have plenty of road, first of all." But Doc has to say that line. He says, "Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads." And the car
is powered by like garbage.
Yeah, the car
is
powered by garbage. It's got like the Fusion Master 5000 on the back, or the Mr. Fusion. That was it.
That's what it was.
And the wheels like pop up and it lifts off. It's a spaceship now. Good times. We're going to space.
So we're going, we don't need roads. I'm assuming there was no post-credit scene, and this was before the era of a post-credit scene.
Pretty sure so that I didn't happened wait. With Iron Man.
No, they did those before Iron Man.
I don't recall any, but I may also just not stuck around. So what did you like about this movie?
I liked a lot. I really did. Like, you were talking about, it's tough to pinpoint things you didn't like. But I'm down with that. I don't like the way that men talk to women in 1955, but that's not the movie's fault.
Like, that was apparently the accurate portrayal. And I mean, you see that in a lot of old classic films where, like, women will start speaking and guys will just slap them in the face.
Right. Like, wait a minute. That's not okay.
You can't do that, but...
can't do that now.
I mean, it's hard to pick... A lot of things this movie did great, but it's also hard to pick anything it really did wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's very cohesive. Yeah.
There's no...
It worked well with what it was
given. There's no holes.
I'm sure there's holes.
You're hard-pressed watching it to be like, oh, that's a huge plot hole.
Right. Oh, like
you wrote yourself
right
out
there.
Of the corner there.
Right. It works.
It's like they wrote the corners at the beginning of the movie, and they were like, okay, cool, this is how we're going to navigate them.
Right. And I thought it went really smooth.
Yeah, it was a really well-constructed movie. The effects played pretty well. I mean, they were minimal effects. It was basically just the DeLorean going back and forth.
And then it was sets. I mean, everything had to look like it was the 50s.
Right. Well, yeah, they just built a set on the Hollywood backlot. And it was the same set used for the Gremlins.
I know. I don't know what the Gremlins is.
Never seen Gremlins?
But, no.
Don't feed them after midnight. Don't get them wet.
Okay.
I mean, it's a movie. It's a air quote Christmas movie.
Like a horror film?
No. It's a horror film for kids. It's like R.L. Stine.
Yeah, because the kids' version of Phantom of the Opera didn't give you nightmares.
What? What are you talking about?
You don't remember that? It was like a Nickelodeon, R.L. Stine, Goosebumps, Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, true. Probably bad. Goosebumps was terrifying. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Terrifying.
Oh,
but no, it's like Gremlins isn't scary. It's like they're like Furbies. I'm Furbies. Taking very bad things to say this movie isn't terrifying because Furbies are also horrifying.
Furbies are like worse than
anything. They look like lanky Furbies, like thin Furbies.
I'll tell you what I didn't like. I didn't like Biff. Like, if I had to pick something I didn't like, I didn't like Biff.
Well, it's hard to put a villain in a movie where time is the villain.
Right. Well, I mean, not even as, like, a villain. I just, like, I don't even know what could have been done differently, because I wasn't making movies in 1985 or doing anything.
I mean, Biff's character was almost completely irrelevant to the whole plot.
No, he kept showing up, and I was like, okay, we get it.
You're an asshole. Like, this is your whole purpose. It's just beat down George McFly.
Right. And it was like, every time Marty's got something figured out...
Caught yourself there.
You show up. I know. You show up and you just like ruin the day.
Well, he really saved the day at the end by, you know, raping Marty's mom.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a really
smart move on
really
Biff's
smart
part,
move for him. But, you know, poor girl that had that taken or that happened to her a couple times. But Marty got to survive because of it.
Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, that's you know, Biff.
I mean, but yeah, if that yeah, if
Biff,
I would
agree
I had
with that.
One
Biff
complaint,
is not the
be
best
it.
Character in the whole movie.
But like again, like the more we've talked about it, the more I like this.
Oh yeah,
movie.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie. So do we go ahead and rank it? Is that what we're doing?
Is it the best movie we've ever watched on this podcast?
Okay, well, let's... Are we ranking it with the Marvel scale? Like, are we doing... So what are we doing here? Are we keeping the Marvel scale and then adding an independent, like, scale on top of it?
So I guess if it's not part of Marvel, then it's only competing with...
Well,
like,
no, because it has to compete
Elf.
With Marvel. Like, but... what I'm saying is like, we're obviously going to rank all the movies we've seen ever.
Ever.
But like, well, except for the Polar Express and Elf. Those are the festive rankings, remember?
The festive rankings. Those are, so yeah, this is not a festive ranking. So, so it's really only competing with
And all Star of Marvel, Wars. Though, but like, I think we need to keep two records at least going forward with Marvel. Like, I don't think we should continue comparing all the Marvel movies to, you know, Back to the Future once we get back into Phase 3. But I think...
Right, so it's not like we're going to be like, okay,
is it better than Captain America? Yes. Is it better than... Back to the Future, no. But it's like, I think for the purpose of Back to the Future, we should rank it against all the movies we've watched that aren't holiday movies. So that would literally just be the Marvel movies and Star Wars.
And I wasn't there for the Star Wars ranking, so I've got to do that as well.
We did not put Star Wars on the board. Yeah.
I know. I was there.
Okay.
I heard.
I wasn't sure how far you got with it or whatever. I'm just reminding people that I did not ask Ben to put Star Wars on the board. Because he obviously hasn't been with us for the ranking of, you know, everything else. So go from the bottom. I mean, we got to rank Star Wars and Back to the Future real quick.
Okay.
So were they better than The Incredible Hulk?
Yes.
Were they better than Iron Man 2? Hold on, yes. I got to pull up the rankings because I lose it after that. I think The Dark World.
It's a little confusing after that.
Hang on a second. I'll tell you for sure.
I've got it right here as well.
Well, I need it. I want it in front of me because I'm asking you the question, Jack Butt. So it's The Incredible Hulk. Is it better than The Incredible Hulk? Yes. Are they both better than Incredible Hulk? Okay. Are they both better than Iron Man 2? Are they both better than Thor The Dark World? What about Thor? Iron Man 3?
Yep.
Ant-Man? Yep. Captain America The Winter Soldier?
Oh, man. We're getting really good movies.
I'm going to say they're both better than Captain America The Winter Soldier. Captain America The First Avenger. The Avengers. Yeah. The Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Guardians.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
No.
Are you just saying that?
I think.
So where would you put? I think out Back of this to the
Future.
List?
I think Back to the Future is better than Iron Man. I don't think The Last Jedi is.
I think The Last Jedi is better than Iron Man.
Okay.
I do. I really do. I really liked The Last Jedi.
It was really good. It was
no, but honestly, I didn't think I was going to agree with Rotten Tomatoes on this. But out of the, and I think I am going to. I think out of all the movies we watched, this is the most good movie. Yeah, it's the most satisfying. It was enjoyable to watch. I didn't have any real criticisms of it, and I was like looking for criticisms. Well, so I was kind of sitting there like, they picked Back to the Future. Like I've never been crazy about this franchise. I don't get the hype behind it, like the cult following it has. And I was like looking for reasons not to like it, and I couldn't.
And then you found satisfying pieces of continuity.
Right. Like, it was just fun to watch. So I say...
Well, and the other thing that none of the other movies we've watched can have going for them because of what they are is this movie has survived the test of time.
For sure. For sure.
Like, we watched a movie filmed in 1985 about 1955 and found it enjoyable.
Right. And we looked at a ranking service that was created within the last, I think, 10 years that rates it as, like, one of the best movies.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and agree that it goes above Iron Man. I'm going to put The Last Jedi up there, too, but that's up to you.
No, I think I can jive with that.
I think
Last Jedi, I think if there's going to be a Star Wars movie that makes a run, and I might be eating my words 10 years from now on this one, but I think if there's going to be a Star Wars movie that makes a run to beat Empire, it's going to be The Last Jedi.
I have thoughts about that, and I will save them for when we talk about Star Wars.
I have no idea what you could possibly think about that.
I have thoughts about that. I'll tell them to you off camera, off mic.
Okay.
Because I don't want to blow our whole Star Wars conversation, because we are, I'm sure, going to get to it within the next 6 months.
I think we'll probably put that behind RPO.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is like right after that, we'll just jump into Star Wars.
And we that'll might set us as up well. For Ant-Man and the Wasp.
It'll set us up for... Yeah.
Han Solo. It'll set Solo. Us up for Solo.
Yeah, we'll be able to do Solo by then. I've got a theory for how next year's going to shake out, and I'll see if you agree with it or not, but we'll get there for the actual podcast. So, I would put them both above Iron Man, but I still... Obviously, Iron Man's still the top of the Marvel list, and we will be back to that in a couple weeks. But I'm curious just to see where the rest of the Star Wars movies fall in comparison to the Marvel movies, and B, where the rest of the Back to the Future movies fall in comparison to everything.
I'm very curious as well. I'm more interested... Like, I've heard 2 is amazing, just as good as 1, if not better. So I'm less interested in how that's going to fall as far as the list goes. I'm very interested to see where Back to the Future 3 is going to fall.
We'll see. We'll see in 2 weeks. Back to the Future Part 3.
With perhaps a special guest.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. We'll do something with a guest.
There'll be details on that.
Tyler, if you had to give me... Well, do we want to do a villain ranking?
No, there's no villain.
Time is the villain. Young love is the villain. Incest is the villain.
Just somebody... I think it was you in The Last Jedi was talking about how all the Marvel villains have, like, are so... I can't remember what you said about the Marvel villains, but all I could think of was, like, Dormammu does not fit what you're saying right now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was something like, oh, they're all so human and like, you know, you can identify with their approach. And I was like, nope, Dormammu wants to kill humanity. because he is a giant.
Is Dormammu really the villain in Doctor Strange, though? Yes. Or is the Sorcerer Supreme the villain?
Sorcerer Supreme is not the
villain. She's kind of the villain.
We'll get there.
5 weeks, I think.
I'm really excited. Less than that. 3 weeks. No. Nope. It's the first one, isn't it?
Captain America Civil War is the first one.
Oh.
Four weeks. Well, I was counting this week. Listen. Anyway, if you had to give me a breakfast food for Back to the Future, what would it be?
It's got to be, I don't want to say light, but it can't be heavy.
No. What's a retro breakfast food? Because this movie is the dictionary definition of retro. It is an old movie about the past.
I don't know. It's almost like a diner.
It definitely comes from a diner.
Yeah, it's like a proper diner
that just has a counter.
It's like a coffee.
Like, have y'all seen Baby Driver? That diner.
Yeah, that diner. It's like you drink your coffee black. It's like apple pie.
And a cup of black coffee. And like some sausage gravy.
but not in like a weird gross way that this sounds like the way you want it.
You go
not
in there like for that.
Now when you
the
go
diner
to a diner
has good
and
pie.
It's sad. Right. You know, now when you go into a diner like that, it's kind of sad, but this is like a diner that also sells pop.
Right.
You
know? Exactly. It's from an old school soda fountain. Soda jerk place. I don't know, man. It's tough. It's a toughie. It's something like that. I don't know exactly what. We can't know exactly what until we see the whole picture.
Think so? Are you gonna give the MCU its own?
Yes, absolutely.
Food? Shawarma.
It is just literally everything piled on a plate together. So much onion. So much onion. So no, I would agree with you. Yeah, black coffee and apple pie sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it's American. It's hearty.
It's the good old days.
Like when men were men.
When diner coffee was really good.
Waffle House coffee is terrible.
Yeah, but that's like part of the charm.
No, it's not. That is not charming.
He said, no, it's not. It is it. So thank you again for listening to another exciting episode of Bacon and Eggs. Next week, we'll be covering Back to the Future Part 2. I think there's no other part to the title. It's just Back to the Future.
It's Back to the Future Part 2.
Part 2. Ethan and I are so glad you've listened. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I am at AmericaRLIM. Ethan is at Wow Now. The O's are zeros. That's on both of those. Or you can find the podcast at Bacon and Eggs 23.
If you want to send us any feedback, any kind of message, anything like that, you can email us at baconandeggsmedia@gmail.com.
Or you can join our Facebook group, which is the best way to stay involved with the community. It's Bacon and Eggs Fans. Link is in the description. And we have a lot of fun there. We just talk about this, that, and the other, whether it be games we're playing on our phone or comments on the show or whatever it is.
We also get a lot of our ideas from that group. So if you want to be part of the creation of these episodes, go ahead and head over there. Also, if you want to help us keep the lights on here at Bacon and Eggs, we do have a Patreon. Got a couple great reward levels there, and you can go ahead and, you know, any amount you can contribute counts a lot for us right now. So, you know, $1 a month is not anything to scoff at. It makes a huge difference. So if you guys can go ahead and go over and do that, give what you can or don't. I mean, obviously this podcast is going to stay free regardless. So we're just hoping you can help us out a little bit.
But special thanks to our patron, Steven Schombach, for being the first patron and paving the way for everyone else. Your support means the world to us.
Absolutely. And I mean, we do this for you guys. We had a comment in the Facebook group earlier today that was talking about how our review of The Last Jedi just made her watching it again so much more enjoyable since she was thinking about everything like that. And I was like, this is why we do this. This is why we do this. We are sharing our favorite movies with people so that they can not think like us, but think the way we think. I can't make that sound good. They can think about things in a similar manner. I'm giving up on this.
Yeah, I mean,
you get what I'm saying.
We've always had this conversation.
Oh man, speaking of the intro that we did about how we always used to talk about movies, I went to that movie theater to see The Last Jedi, the movie theater that we always talked about, and it's an AMC now. I did not.
It's like down the street from my house. It is not the closest movie theater to my house, but it is close.
It's the closest movie theater that shows real movies.
Last Jedi is playing.
Is it really? With the Grandin?
Yeah.
I would not want to go see that there. Although I did see it at the AMC with its horrible seats and its broken sound and everything.
Oh, when I saw it at an AMC, I think. But it was like a reserve your seat recliner place. Which, by the way, premium theater.
I'm so spoiled now.
Yeah,
we've got a movie theater here where I live where you can just sit down at the movie theater seat and they will bring you food and drinks to your seat, like with waiters. It's amazing. So I went to a regular theater with actual seats where I just walked in. There were 6 people in the theater to watch The Last Jedi with me. It was opening morning, wild.
But you know the thing they do before the movie where it's like Dolby 7.1?
Around you.
Yeah, well, it was not behind me. It was just all you.
I will still remember forever us watching Transformers at that car mic that it was, and just like Transformers was breaking the speakers actively.
It was like, yeah, like the dubstep was, the speakers couldn't handle it.
Oh man.
You could like hear, it was one like three back to the right of us. Yeah. Blue.
So the theater down the street from me, what used to be a Paragon and is now a Cinemark, has a theater in there that has Dolby Atmos, which is the new movie sound where they've got the overhead speakers and they can like move it all around the room. And yeah. So it's,
is it the superior it,
I don't know. I haven't gotten to see a movie yet there because they show like the newest movie in 3D in that theater, and that's it. And I hate 3D movies.
Yeah,
they also don't work on my movie pass, but I want to see a movie with the Dolby Atmos. I do. But like I can't, how am I supposed to know what theater it's playing in? Like they tell you that in the little trailer thing before the movies are like, go see the Dolby Atmos in our number one theater. And I'm like, okay, then like tell me ahead of time which movies are in that theater.
I would just see what's the next blockbuster for us
that comes out. Black Panther. So I'll have to see it in 3D.
God, that's a long ways
it's
away.
Like 2 months. It's less than 2 months.
Oh, yeah, I guess not.
It comes out February 16th.
Okay.
That's a month and a half, bro.
Okay.
You'll be all right.
That seems
be
like all right. A long time. I'll have to go to the movies. I have to see Pitch Perfect.
I need to go see Jumanji.
Oh, my God. I got great reviews.
I want to see it so bad.
Anyway, this podcast has been brought to you by Tyler and Nathan, Bacon and Eggs Media. We cannot thank you enough for being a part of what we do. Ethan, what's that thing you say at the end?
Until next week. Arrivederci.
An Oxford scholar. Boop. That was a lot faster than I normally do it.
That's okay. We'll figure it out.
That's also what she said.
Oh,
zinger.
Oh, that's a bingo.